Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Professor's Podcast number 3. Well, now you've all had a week or so to complete reading Wallachau's text, his contribution to our understanding of the dimensions of ethics, as he puts it. That's those theoretical constructs that do, well, exactly what does a beginning understanding of some of the theoretical foundations of ethical thinking do for us in a professional sense? I'd like to explore that question a bit as you move toward preparing your first research paper that's going to focus on those theories that will prepare us for moving on to specific constructs that do underlie public communication more specifically. Okay, so let's consider first how Wallachau himself defines an ethical theory, and for those of you who want to check, it's on page 25. He says, an ethical theory, as this phrase is to be understood here, is a philosophical theory which seeks to understand, explain, and perhaps guide us in the practice of making moral decisions. Now, it would be useful if you were to note those words in his definition, and by the way, throughout the book, that he's chosen to highlight. In this definition, he has highlighted the following words: philosophical, understand, explain, and guide. And it's this last one, to guide, that these theories are intended to guide us in making moral decisions. That's at the heart of why we study theory. I suppose it should be clear to you by now that a theory is just that, an educated guess, if you will, that explains how and why things work the way they work, or in the case of ethical decision-making, how they ought to be. I was interested to note that this particular perspective seems to have a long history in the business world. There's an early business ethics article in the Journal of Business Ethics, and it was published in 1983. Now that's almost a quarter of a century in our past. And although the way business functions and how we communicate and strategize have certainly evolved, there is still an underlying feeling that perhaps we're not doing enough ethically. The author of that particular article, named Archie Baum, B-A-H-M, has a bone to pick with the business establishment of his day. And that is that after studying how ethics is approached in the businesses of the 1980s, he concluded that, and I quote, teaching applied ethics without teaching theoretical foundations of ethics is the mainline policy today. He then goes on as follows. He says, this policy is a deficiency in American culture that needs to be overcome. Ignoring or denying the importance of theoretical foundations for ethical decisions constitutes incompetence in understanding ethics and inability to ground ethical decisions with assurance. That's the end of the quote. And as you move now into synthesizing some of this information and later to applying it, it should become even clearer what problem grew from his contention and which we still face today, and that's this. If theories help us to eventually make actual decisions, can we agree on which theories to apply when one or more provide different guidelines? The short answer then, as is now, is a resounding not very likely. I want to talk about an example. One of the theories that Wallachau didn't really explain is an interesting one that you might like to do some further research on your own. It's called the doctrine of double effect, and it's one, whether they realized it or not, that many PR practitioners in the past were actually using to justify their less than ethical decisions. Here's what it contends. The doctrine of double effect is believed to have been first broached by Thomas Aquinas, and it pivots on the difference between bringing about a harmful event instrumentally as a means to a good end versus bringing it about incidentally as a side effect of pursuing a good end. In other words, an act that has a harmful outcome, which is a means to the intended ends, is morally worse than the same act would be if the harmful outcomes were foreseen but not intentional. The act is still the same. And the doctrine of double effect has long been used to justify actions during conditions of war. For example, a bomb is intended to destroy an enemy munitions factory, but it's justifiable even if it kills civilians if the sole intention was to destroy the weapons in the pursuit of what is termed a just war. That is, one whose purpose is self-defense or to create lasting peace, if you like. This is what in current war parlance might be described as collateral damage, and it's justified under the doctrine of double effect. Perhaps it was foreseen, but it certainly was unintended. The same act, however, a bombing itself, would not be justifiable if the civilians were the targets as a means to the intended outcome. Since it was not intended, justifiable. In general, the application of the construct, which has both its believers and its detractors, suggests that an action has harmful outcomes but can be ethically justified if it meets the following criteria. One, the act, in our case it would be a public relations or communication strategy, can be considered morally good itself, or at the very least, morally neutral. Second criterion, that the directly intended effect is a morally positive one. And third, that has to be met for the doctrine of double effect to provide moral justification, is that the agent intends only the good outcome. And this criterion, which more specifically suggests that the act must not be achieved through the bad effect. Finally, the positive outcome has to outweigh the harmful effect. Now, as you might have begun to figure out, this particular theory leads to all kinds of subjective decisions about whether or not positive motivation trumps harmful, even if the outcomes are unintended. Can't you just hear the companies representing tobacco companies defending their behavior by indicating that the harm was unintended? The question remains, does that justify their behavior? Something to think about. Talk to you next time.